If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your host. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And we just spent the last 10 minutes watching breakdancing videos and listening to breakdowns because of two things.
Yeah.
Describe us.
Namely, the Australian breakdancer from
Australia.
Australian Olympics.
That, yeah, I hadn't seen that and Kyle showed me. It's good. But yeah, if you need to kickstart your Monday,
that's a good way to do it.
Look at that.
Outside of us, that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, we are in a simulation.
It shows that anyone can succeed at anything.
I like that. I like you spun it into a positive.
Oh, of course. Of course.
That's good. I feel like they're like, okay, we need 5 people for this Olympic team. We only have 4. Hey, college professor, can you flop around like a fish? She's like, got you.
Yes.
You're on.
And I'll hold my chin the whole time.
That's how I'm going to do the night shift.
You should.
Anyway.
Thanks. So you just heard it on the next night shift. Steve is going to break dance.
Mm-hmm. That is not true.
It's going to be awesome.
But yeah, you're not here for that. They're going to be like, too much banter at the beginning of the show.
Don't care.
They're talking about stuff like it's their show.
Long hair. Don't give a fuck.
Anyway, welcome back. It's Monday. For you guys, it's Saturday night at midnight for us.
Yeah.
So there's that. But we hope this jumpstarts your work week and you can just break dance your ass all the way through it. Just get it.
Hell yeah.
Just wrapped up the Law of One series last week. Definitely go check that out. Banger of a series. I figured I'd change it up a little bit today and talk about some Space Brain.
Hell yeah.
And I'm I mean, we're not opposed to some space brain, but we're also going to be talking about some space brain.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, yeah, we're going to jump into that in a little bit. First, we got to get through the housekeeping, all the business. Check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. Be part of the community, and then you can join the cult, which is cool. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
So you can do it too. It's there. We're no threat at all.
This is one of them cases where you should definitely follow the crowd.
Yes. Yes. If you're new here, this is our Monday show. Thursday, every other week, we drop a listener experience show. So if you got a listener experience that you'd like to share and listen to us, two cool breakdancing guys, talk about it. Kyle's got some info for you.
I do. It's easy. It's not nearly as complicated as breakdancing. All you have to do is write your story out in as much possible detail as you can. Rack your brain and get all them details out. Then you just shoot it over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. And then it gets turned into an episode and everybody's happy.
Everybody.
I'm happy. You're happy. Steve's happy.
The listeners are happy.
That's all that matters.
We get like weird stuff. Weird stuff. We had some weird fae witch dollhouse encounter the other day, which was dope. We get weird. We like weird.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want to hear it. Did you fight a Sasquatch? Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Possessed by a demon? Let's hear it. You're in a cyber war with the shadow government. Let's hear it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Your brain's being taken over by some sort of intergalactic fungus. Let's hear it.
No, I'm definitely in.
It's easy. That being said, if you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways you can do it. First off, you can hop on over to Patreon and find our Patreon, which is in our Linktree. We have a Linktree. Use the Linktree. That's what it's there for. Linktree.com/HollowSkyPodcast. There you can get right to the Patreon. Go over there and be like, hey, it's $7 a month. But what do I get for that $7? Early access to shows. That's pretty cool. Shows with no ads. That's pretty cool. Extra shows, which is, like I said, I don't know about what it's going to be by this time, but right now we're at 48. That's almost an entire year of extra Hollow Sky. Right there. Right there. And then you get coupons and stuff to the store. There's the exclusive AI band under Dark Array Media, Casket Breath, where you can listen to metal and stuff that's not metal. So it's cool.
It is cool.
It's cool. You can't even get a value meal at McDonald's for $7, right?
Yeah, that sucks.
And we will give you the same amount of heartburn.
It's also true.
So it works out. You can go to hollowskypodcast.com, check the merch store there. We got some shirts. We got some hats. We got some stickers. It's cool. Check yourself out some stuff. Get some stuff. It's cool. Then you can share the show word of mouth. Best thing you can do. Forget all that other stuff. Share the show. Push the show. Share the show. That's what we really need from you. Then you can go to wherever you listen to the show and leave us a 5-star rating review, and I'll talk about it, because that's what we do. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend, Ty Holloman Reed. Ty says, great podcast, ! 5 stars. Saw y'all from suggestions in my feed. Really happy I started following and listening. Hollow cult for life.
Yeah.
I'm throwing you a metal sign, bro. Because we appreciate you.
I imagine it.
2 metal signs up. You got 2 horns up for a 5 stars. Thanks for being dope and leaving us some kind words. You're great. The Hollow cult's great. People who don't leave 5 stars and only leave 1 stars are lame.
Agreed.
Here we, Kyle, how do you feel about space brain?
6 minutes, 25 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, yep. There it is. 6 minutes, 25 seconds. The episode starts. How do you feel about space brain?
I mean, I'm good with it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're children. We are teenagers. And this is where the comedy is going to be.
Yeah. It happens.
While Kyle was doing the deep dive in to the law of one, I just kind of went on this route of finding the weirdest shit that I could find, right?
which is always appreciated.
Yeah, we're coming. What was the last episode I did? Was it the Michelin Man?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're coming off the Michelin Man, which is
fucking weird,
bonkers in itself, to this particular weird UFO case, abduction case, something case that I found that we're going to talk about. Cryptopia.us did a little nice little blurb on it. I know the Cryptonaut podcast did an episode on it, which I kind of listened to, kind of get a feel where they went. But I also found a nice, like, big bunch of source material in a book that's out of print, but it is online. So if you can find it and pay for it, do it. But if you can't, I get it. The book is called Alien Abductions, True Cases of UFO Kidnappings by Scott D. Rogo. So I read through that, which I will note there is a whole bunch of transcripts from interviews that I may do a Patreon episode on. We can just go through all the transcripts. I haven't decided yet. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Whatever. Let's get it. So it's basic rundown of this case is an abduction of a man by a pair of huge in consideration to the normal size of what we think about, blue brains.
Okay.
Right? Which they encountered on this, like, little, in my head I pictured as a cul-de-sac, but also kind of not. So
I already have a ton of questions. Just in that, I have a ton of questions.
Are we going to get it before we get it?
I don't know. I mean, it might get
answered
in the story, so I don't want to, like, cut out the entire story by asking tons of questions.
Yeah. All right. So this takes place in Palos Verdes, California, which,
of course,
which I was going to do a 40 and 50 California episode, and that's how I kind of stumbled onto this. And I'm like, man, this has got to be its own thing here. So these are not their real names, right? August 17th, 1971, a pair of Palos Verdes natives, Peter Rodriguez and John Hodges, both of whom were in their late 20s, are the two that essentially ran into the space brains. Got space brain, if you will. So
good for them.
John and Peter are just kicking it. They're just hanging out at the home of their friend Mike. He lives on this street called Dapple Gray Lane, which a lot of times if you look it up, you can put Dapple Gray Lane encounter in and you'll find a bunch of weird shit about it. So they're hanging out. According to them, no extracurriculars going on, no recreational stuff going on, right? No drinking, no drugs. They're just kicking it, having a bonfire.
No smoking doobies.
No. No devil's lettuce. No white liquor.
Be a lot cooler if you did.
So they're kicking it. About 2 in the morning, they decide, all right, it's getting late. Let's go home. So they jump in John's car. As he starts his engine, the headlights pop on. And when he goes to put it in gear, he notices, well, both men notice, a pair of what can only be described as big, disembodied brains laying in the street about 6 feet in front of their car. Two brains. All right.
So some of my questions have just been answered.
Okay.
Because I was going to say, how, like, are these brains with legs?
No.
they're just brains.
Just brains.
I love the fact that when they first initially see them, it is two sloppy-ass brains laying on the ground.
Yeah, just two brains.
Like, that in itself would just scare the fuck out of you because you don't know what's going on. You are recognizing that you're seeing two oversized brains laying on the ground, and you're like, what the actual fuck just happened?
Yeah. My first question would be like, what in what biological being did this giant ass brain come out of?
Yeah. And just what the fuck do we do? You know, like what do we do at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. In later interviews, they both asserted that the brains were a weird blue in color and shrouded by a strange localized like gas, like a vapor that was around them. Okay. So
I feel like this is out of a DC comic.
Gaseous space brain.
Yeah.
The descriptions of one of the creatures was approximately, quote, the size of an overgrown softball. So I'm thinking a little bit, probably a little bit bigger than a human brain. Maybe a human brain.
I feel like it'd be close to a human brain, maybe a hair bigger, but softballs aren't that big.
Pretty human brain like, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The second one had the dimensions, quote, the size of a human torso.
Jesus. So that like that's a big brain.
A beach ball brain. This one also had a very strange feature. A red eye-like appendage wedged in the center crease of its frontal lobe.
That's gross.
So it has a submarine, what do they call those? That comes up out of the sub.
Oh, a periscope.
Yeah, but it's an eyeball.
Yeah. It makes me think of those anglerfish.
Oh, it does. I didn't think about that.
Gross.
Yeah, that's yucky. That's yucky.
It's like an 80s B horror movie.
Yeah. So luckily, Peter and John were not dummies. They sat there for a minute and they thought, man, this is weird. And then they said, hell with this. And John just fucking speeds away. Says later, not dealing.
I figured they was going to poke it with a stick.
No, they were real OGs. They were not down for some roadhead.
But that's a joke, folks. I mean, no, I would stay.
You'd poke it?
Of course I would.
Yeah, me too.
How do you just leave?
I don't know.
I would at least stand there and stare at it for a long time.
Yeah, try to talk to it.
Yeah, and theorize what it came out of. And then I would be even more confused at the fact that this thing's got a fucking eyeball coming out of its head.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the case, folks. Thanks for checking out. No, they actually lived in the same neighborhood, so they weren't that far away as they sped off. John dropped. Is it John? Yes, John dropped Peter off at his house, and then he decided to go home. So as he pulls into his driveway, he started to notice that, keep in mind, they left Mike's house at 2. It was now 4:30 in the morning.
Uh-oh.
And they only lived a couple blocks away from each
other. Uh-oh.
So the time is not adding up.
A little bit of trouble here.
John said he made the journey multiple times in the past, because they're all buddies, and he could not figure out how his 10-minute trip around town had just turned into a 2-hour trek, and it didn't sit well with him. But he would find out soon enough. So, doing his due diligence, John calls Mike and says, yo, I know it's early in the morning, but it's weird. Can you please walk around the cul-de-sac to see if there's any brains on the street? Mike's like, bet, I got you. He walks around. He's like, there's nothing out here, bro. I don't know what you're talking about. There's no large rocks, no garbage, no roadkill. The street's clean. The sidewalks are clean. Just nothing going on. So he's like, all right, well, that's weird. And then since they did their due diligence, couldn't find any brains on the street, John just went about his business. Says, all right, whatever.
Yeah, maybe it was a bad dream or something.
Yeah, but as we all know, when you get missing time, there's always problems. Because when you have missing time, then you start to connect the dots, right? You get lights in the sky. Okay. You get UFO landings. You get blue brains in the street. People who believe that they are abducted by aliens but cannot really process these memories tend to like wake up dazed and oriented after this missing time, find themselves in engaged in the same activity they were when they stopped, essentially driving home from your buddy's house, right? So after about 5 years of John just getting little vague snippets of what went on, like, damn, we saw them brains, but then we didn't really do anything about it. Damn, I lost 2.5 hours of time and I didn't really do anything about it. He finally decides to undergo hypnotic regression in hopes of uncovering what had happened to him after he separated from Rodriguez on that fateful night.
Dummy.
Because the timeline seems like they leave it to see the brains. He thinks, hell with this, drive off. He drops Rodriguez off. And then the missing time seems to take
place. Oh, shit, that sucks.
Yeah. So it goes into hypnosis. Again, controversial, but it's employed by many psychologists to help recover memories that are otherwise buried deep in the psyche. It's also one of the most popular techniques used to elicit repressed memories of alien abductees. The person administering this said regression is a man by the name of Dr. William McCall. He's a practicing physician as well as an expert clinical hypnotist. He normally uses his hypnosis techniques to aid patients whose medical symptoms are complicated or blocked out by underlying emotional traumas. So he is, for the most part, using it like in an actual medical realm, right?
Yeah.
The first notable thing that Hodges recalls while under said hypnosis is that the larger brain began speaking to him telepathically on Dapple Gray Lane. He says, yes, the larger one is coming toward us. We're sitting in the car. It's talking to us, not with words, but with something in our mind, telling us we must be careful, that there are many things we don't understand. If we do not take the time to understand ourselves, we will be the instruments of our own fate. That there are many like us, and we will come to know our place in the world. Then the larger one moves back and says, we will meet again. Until that time, you will not remember what has gone on here.
Yeah, which, joke's on you, because now I figured it out.
Yeah, which we've heard before, that they make like in the Harmony Grove incident. Like they try to make you forget that this happens, which is...
Which it just seems counterproductive.
And it seems sus.
Well, that, but like think about it. Like, Why even make conversation at that point?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're, hey, I'm going to give you this enlightening information about how you should be aware, but at the same time, by the way, we're going to meet later, but you're not going to remember none of this shit, so I don't even know why I'm talking to you.
We're just here to harvest your memories.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
We're here to harvest your memories so we can create clones of humans and populate the planet.
Awesome.
During the session, Hodges recounts that he dropped off Rodriguez without incident. After it approached them and talked to him, nothing else happened. Then he gets home, and he's just sitting outside of his car, trying to process that a giant blue, one-eyed space brain just came up and talked to him and his buddy. So I got two different sources at this point, kind of telling two different stories here. One said that the beings were actually outside of his home when he returned there. Then one also said he fell into a trance-like state where the beings were seen, right? Mm-hmm. So you have one saying that they're physically at his house, the other one saying that they kind of hypnotically approached him at this point as he's at home. So regardless, he's looking at the two beings, the two space brains. He's terrified at the sight of these blue brains waiting outside of his house. He apparently loses consciousness. His next memory is that of waking up in what he referred to as a control room. This control room is lined with what seemed to him to be like computer consoles. Hodges notices that the brain creatures are nearby. along with a different group of entities that were even more terrifying.
Oh, great.
He quotes, "There were people there, but they're not like people," end quote. For some reason, that reading that just kind of fucked with me a little bit.
It's definitely ominous at best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because do they describe what these things actually look like?
He does.
Good.
He does. So in his hypnosis, he states that he was confronted by a group of bald, thin-lipped, 7 feet tall, gray-skinned humanoids with no less than 6 webbed fingers and webbed toes on their hands and feet. The strange humanoids made it clear that the blue brains were nothing more than organic translation devices, which enabled the tall beings to converse telepathically with human beings.
I would have looked at that stupid tall fuck and said, "You could have found a better looking translator, dude." Because all this is going to do is scare the shit out of all of us normal humans.
It looks like a giant garbage sack.
Yeah, like why didn't you like literally pick anything else visually? That was the dumbest thing that you could have done.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird that these humanoids made it clear that the blue brains were nothing more than translation devices, but they're making it clear not having to use the blue brains as translation devices.
See, I view it as like the blue brain was like their research drone.
Mm.
They send it out so they don't physically have to go out. Which, just think about that. You're in your UFO, right? And you're flying over these two assholes hanging out. And you're like, "Yo, drop the translation device." It's just two brains that plop down. Yes.
I love that they're probably, okay, so these tall dickheads are all sitting in their craft, right?
Yeah.
And they're thinking, they're like, "All right, we're going to infiltrate the human race."
Yeah.
"We can't talk to them directly."
Right. This is way too sketchy.
Way too sketch. We're going to have to come up with an inconspicuous.
Yeah.
An inconspicuous drone to put out there that they won't notice.
It's got to be something that they would like see, visualize, and go, "This is acceptable for our planet."
Yeah. So what do they use to translate things within them? Their brain.
Their brain. Of course.
Genius.
Of course.
Genius. We actually have a couple human brains back here in some jars from the last abductees. Let's clone them. They're like, "All right, but the best we could do is this one the size of a football and this other one the size of a beach ball." Yeah. And they're like, "You know what?
It'll work.
Still counts.
It'll work.
Slap the eye hanger on that one and toss them down."
Yeah.
Which is where we're at right now.
Yeah, I agree. There's not much variance in what we just said.
No.
It's there.
No. And I just want to point out to everyone, from this point on, I have no sympathy, no empathy, no anything for any being that is not on this planet human right now. I have fully decided, me and Kyle talked about it, I am full 100% toxicity toward any non-human intelligence that isn't like a fucking animal or something. If you are an alien, get ready to get it, because we're not friends.
Smoke.
We are not friends. I don't care what you come here preaching, light, love, blah, 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 blah. Nope. Nope. Go back home. Go back home.
Go on, get
back the way you came. That's how you get out of here. But I just want to state that, because
disclaimer,
fuck them. That's why. So John's been abducted.
Yeah. Maybe, obviously at this point,
maybe physically, maybe telepathically. He's not sure, but it doesn't matter. I feel like telepathic abduction is just as horrible as physical abduction. He's trying to convince himself that he's just having a dream. You know, this is too fucked up to be real. But he's like, "Well, everything aside from these tall assholes and these giant brains feels pretty real." So then the brains start communicating with him again. Right? tell them that these tall boys over here are part of a group that monitor Earth, which is weird because we kind of go into that in the Law of One, that there are these set species of things off the planet that are set in to monitor the Earth.
And at this point, I would be highly confused because I would be like, wait a minute, Blue Brain. I thought you were just a translation device. How do you now have conscious thought on your own?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's some shenanigans going on.
Maybe the 7-foot guys are telling him, like, hey, I don't know. Maybe he was more apt to interact with the brain than he was the. Why are their fingers webbed? Let's talk about that for a minute.
They swim.
Where?
I don't know what fucking
the Days End,
the Phelps guy.
Well, yeah. All right, that brings a full circle. But they tell him that the tall boys are there to monitor the Earth because the Earth is gaining too much power.
Oh,
I'm thinking it's more like,
not sure about that.
Humans are gaining too much power because, like,
also not sure about that.
After they tell him that humans are getting too powerful, of course, they start showing him videos and photos and all kinds of shit of nuclear explosions. And this map of the world is on the side or on the wall of this ship.
See, not to interrupt, but I, at this very moment, feel about as hostile as you do.
Yeah, because fuck them.
Because there's a part of me that would get shown them explosions and go, and?
Yeah.
Like.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Let's be 100% honest here.
You can get it too.
Who the fuck are you to come here and tell us anything about us?
Yep.
Like, think about that for a second. How would you feel if we took our fucking explosions here and showed up at your place? It was like, hey, bet you're getting too powerful. Okay, we need to check you.
Yeah, that's kind of where I go with this once I get further down. So it shows the map of the world. And
our world?
Yes.
Okay.
Of the Earth.
Okay, gotcha.
And after, okay, so it shows these these holographic images of these explosions, right? Mm. Not specifically where they're at or anything. Then it shows the map of the world. Then all these pinpoints of light start coming out where John's assuming that these explosions happen. The larger brain explains to John that the points of light represent places on the Earth where there's too much power. Essentially, you think nuclear silos, nuclear facilities.
Okay.
Shows all these spots on Earth where we could potentially destroy ourselves. California, lots of dots around the Midwest, all over America, Europe, Russia. This part makes me relate to John a little bit. He said there are some other places, but he's not very good at maps, so he don't know what countries those are in.
That's awesome.
I get it. I get it.
That's awesome.
He was also shown an image of another planet that had been destroyed due to the fact that it had, quote, too much power.
It's probably Maldek.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, as off the wall and asinine as this case is, it almost kind of falls in line with where you got species watching the planet.
Yeah, it's definitely strange.
So I circle back around and found another description of these tall beings just to kind of tie back into it. But he says, hold up. Missed a paragraph here. So John decides to describe what the brains look like. So he's talking about this red protrusion, whatever the hell it is, it's on top of the bigger brain. The red spot seems to be covering about 1/8 of the size of this brain. It's pure red. It does not shine. This is all a quote also. Looks almost like a light. It looks like it may be a growth. It doesn't have an even line. I can't see any texture. There doesn't appear to be any depth to it. It doesn't move. It doesn't pulsate. Nothing like blood vessels. Just soft tissue covering it that covers the rest of the brain. Sounds gross.
Yeah.
Sounds gross.
Yeah. I agree.
I got another description of the tall beings that kind of go in a little more depth. John says, quote, they are tall, skin's gray, yellow eyes, very thin eyes, mouths, but very thin lips, almost no lips, flat, funny noses. Their hand have long fingers on them, 6 fingers and a thumb. They're webbed, more or less from the palm to the first knuckle. Their feet are much the same. They're barefoot, but not naked, wearing gray vests and gray pants. Look like a kind of plastic or vinyl with a spongy cuff, something like a donut around their ankle. No belt, but a line seems to separate the pants from the vest. They're about 7 feet tall.
That outfit sounds like it sucks.
Yeah, it sounds like they got an ankle monitor on.
Yeah. Well, they got them on every limb, though. The puffy ass donuts. I feel like it's some designer ass shit.
Yeah, they probably looked up humanity, saw something from like the 1500s ass William Shakespearean bullshit.
Yeah, that's it.
This is the fit.
Yeah.
This is the heat we're going to bring to the planet.
I feel like these things are dumb.
Yeah. Again, they go on their rant about you need to stop abusing your power. And they even went on to like, again, push, take the time to understand yourselves, because the time draws near to when you're gonna need to do this, right?
Which is eerily similar to the Raw episodes. Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
So, I mean, it makes you kind of wonder like where they're coming from with this. Like, is this like some sort of like dick swing and warning from like a bigger species? Or is it like a plea from other people kind of on our level? Like, hey, you're going to fuck yourselves up and it's also going to cause some damage to here. But there is kind of a third notion here that like, what if these things represent like a civilization that want to conquer the planet, right? Because blue brains and gray tall boys, if they're a species, what if they're using some kind of like weird alien reverse psychological warfare, right? They're telling us, oh, you have this huge armament. If you don't be careful, you're going to blow your planet up. When instead they're like, oh shit, these humans have nukes that can really do some damage.
Yeah, we better get them to get rid of them.
Let's get them to get rid of them.
Yeah, I could see that. Because at first I was really confused on your direction there, because I'm like, wait, I don't know, I don't feel like that, like, but then you explain it, I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I could definitely see that.
Like some Jedi mind trick shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure.
Because they're coming in like, hey, if you don't do this, it's going to be bad for you. Right. Which could be like a powerhouse being like, hey, chill the fuck out or we're going to chill you out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it could be like somebody that had already been out there and got to that level of technology and got screwed up. And they're like, this is going to suck for you and suck for a lot of other people in the universe if you don't stop. But I'm thinking like, since I took my full on
new stance on life,
full on get the smoke. I'm thinking it sounds more like this, more like some Jedi mind trick. Like you guys got some swinging power. We're going to dial it back.
Yeah.
You need to get rid of that because.
Yeah. I think I was initially hostile because it felt like they were coming here with force, like being like, hey,
look what you're doing.
I just felt like, they viewed us as a threat, but they are the bigger threat. And they're like, listen here, you guys are going to cool. Like you said, you're going to cool your jets or we're going to cool them for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's where the hostility came from, where I'm like, wait a minute here.
Yeah. I do.
You take your webbed ass hands on back home, son.
Yeah. This, your fucking brain phones and get out of
here.
Yeah.
Brain phones.
So, again, we're right back to them being like, hey, you're going to blow shit up. This isn't going to be cool.
It's kind of what we do.
So John says after this, like, intergalactic scolding, after they're like, hey, you humans are bad, get in the corner, he starts to feel like this weird buzzing sensation running through his body, which we'd also heard in other.
We have definitely heard that before.
So as it kind of hit him, he opens his eyes and he's back in his car in his driveway. And there's no brains to be found. No alien brains, nobody's getting brain, nothing. Not long after this hypnotic regression, both Hodges and Rodriguez, who Rodriguez had no initial involvement with the abduction, were asked to draw pictures of the brain, so what they could recollect. Hodges depicted this like weird globster, like larger brain with the red eye, which a globster, if you don't know, is like when a strange creature washes up on the shore, like say it's been a whale that's been dead for months. It just looks like this just big gelatinous mass. That's a globster. Rodriguez, however, doesn't recall the larger brain, but he does recall seeing the smaller brain. Which is weird to me. Why would they differentiate themselves?
I don't know.
Unless maybe they knew, maybe something about Hodges was more like in tune with whatever they had planned. I don't know. But it's strange that Rodriguez only saw the smaller one while Hodges saw both of them.
Yeah.
Later on, after this initially happens, is where the two like, timelines, not timelines, but the two theories kind of split because Hodges kind of took a stance that his abduction was more telepathic than physical. He called it a holographic projection due to the fact that he noticed like the area behind him in the control room was all black with the computer panels and stuff. He said it almost felt like the scene was implanted into his brain.
Yeah, kind of like a green screen.
Yeah, exactly. Which then sent him on another tangent where he was fully convinced that he had, quote, a translator cell implanted in his brain in order to sustain contact with the creatures. Which, I mean, ain't that far off.
No.
Hear that all the time.
No.
Hear that all the time. So in the weeks that followed, homeboy Hodges begins to get telepathic messages from the aliens.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. The aliens predict that a giant war would break out in the Middle East. They further predict that this war would swiftly spread into Europe, resulting in the use of atomic weapons and the essentially tipping point of the eradication of the human race. Right?
Well, I mean, to be fair, I'm not surprised by any of those statements.
You will be surprised by this, though. When did they predict that would happen?
I don't fucking know.
1983.
That's weird.
Which
is right around the raw material.
Which is, but there was no nuclear war that happened. So they were definitely wrong.
Oh, they said it was going to happen in 1983?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying that's when this case took place.
No.
Oh, so they were definitely way wrong.
Yeah. They told John, nuclear war, 1983. And
at least they got that right.
Yeah. Can you imagine being John? Right. You already are traumatized by this whole alien experience. You fully got a translator cell in your brain where these aliens keep talking to you, and they will not shut the hell up about the oncoming nuclear war in 1983.
Just, you'd be scared as fuck.
Oh, just yapping.
Terrified.
Yapping constantly. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And January 1st, 1984 hits. You're like, son of a bitch.
Yep. Furthermore, I want to pose a obvious question. Why do some of these ultra smart, quote unquote, intergalactic, extraterrestrial, interdimensional beings fucking abduct the most random asshole on the planet and automatically have this assumption? Hey, Steve, I just want to tell you that nuclear warheads are bad and you need to get rid of all of them. Like, you have the ability to change the entirety of the planet.
Yeah.
And it's a decision on nuclear warheads.
Yeah. They're like, we're going to need you to do this for us.
What am I supposed to do about it?
John's over here like, bro, I work at Wendy's. I don't know what the
fuck you're gonna saying. Do. Like, I can't, like, I can't even make a phone call to even get close to the press. Like, what do you...
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? You want me to tweet about it?
Please do.
Was abducted by brain aliens. Need to get rid of nukes.
Yeah. Hey, someone, please.
Like, I don't understand the mentality.
And how, like, yeah, I think 100% the best question.
I think it does at least semi-justify your perception of them being deceptive. Right.
Yeah.
I think that makes the most sense. Because if these things were that intelligent and had every bit of good intention to keep us from destroying ourselves, they would easily, without question, go to peep the heads of the power and make these suggestions.
Yes. Yes.
They wouldn't abduct you and me.
No. Or at least abduct someone in the atomic field or
somebody with credibility, someone with the ability to at least have connections to get to the right people.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking Hodges here. I don't know what he did for his life, what he did for his career, but he was just a 22-year-old kid, right?
Right.
So, like, he's not got his shit together.
Obviously.
Nobody at 22 has their shit together.
Yes.
For them to pick him and be like, this is going to be the guy we're going to spearhead this message to the humans from our brain friends. Is a little questionable.
It's irresponsible.
I feel like this goes back to law of one. These guys slip through the quarantine and they're just trying to get the hell back out.
For sure.
Just trying to get the hell back out the window.
They definitely slipped through the quarantine.
They're like, let's see how much damage we can cause while we're here. But they also said that after the giant nuclear war of 1983, that they would establish public dialogue between humans and the tall boys.
Oh.
Oddly enough, this also did not happen. They also.
I love it.
Fuck that up.
They're definitely good at their job.
Yeah. So, I mean, it begs a bunch of questions, right?
I feel like in the grand scheme of, like, off-world intelligences, these guys are probably the equivalent of
Beavis and Butthead.
That, or I was gonna say the crackhead that tries to rob you.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like that's about where they fall on the echelon.
I can see that too.
Of intelligence,
they took Hodges into the spacecraft, realized that he didn't have a pack of Lucky Strikes on him.
Yeah,
they're like, we'll just show him some
fuck.
We'll just show him some explosions and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So we got some questions here that are posed. Did mankind manage to avert the nuclear war? Because did they manage to avert it, period, right? Did we somehow manage to get our shit together during the Cold War shit and not blow ourselves up? Which clearly, yes, because we're still here in 2024. Right. But did the aliens' warnings lend to this?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
I'm going to say you're correct.
Yeah.
Did the predictions hit the right people at the right time?
No. No.
Right? No.
I love how that's even a question.
No.
It's so stupid.
Skeptics might say that this is just the ramblings of a young man who had a little too much to party that night. But they said, he said he was...
I mean, I'm not going to discredit his encounter. However,
I discredit the aliens.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
I don't discredit his encounter. I feel 100% reading the transcripts. I go find the PDF. You can read it. It's about 14 pages long. The whole case is about 14 pages long in that book that I said. I'll go back to it at the end. But the transcripts feel... Whatever he experienced was very real to him.
Right.
I don't know what these things are.
I feel like they're really stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really do. I feel like I feel like they are the equivalent of the crackhead that tries to rob you.
Yeah.
And does like a half-assed job at it too.
And which I did write down here. It's funny that you brought that up. It says it does beg to question why these entities who are so hell-bent on warning us to change our ways before we destroy our own planet, before we end our entire existence, before we wipe the human race from the face of the galaxy, choose to pick such ordinary, simple people. Instead of people with political pull, instead of people with social pull, instead of people with economic pull, who would be way more privy and able to put out the warnings other than John Hodges from Palos Verde?
Yeah, that dude's out there just trying to like have a good night.
Yeah.
You know, and. Furthermore, I don't know that I've heard any other, not to say that they don't exist. I don't recall any alien story where an entity has used a medium for communication, like an actual physical object. Most of them can be wherever and telepathically communicate when they want.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
So,
I feel like they're not smart.
I feel like they were like overthinking it.
Maybe. Right? I hope that's the case.
Like using a brain to try to communicate with a species with a brain.
They're strike one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's definitely strike one.
I think that's where their brains were going. Like, hey, humans use their brain to communicate. Let's use a brain to communicate.
It seems smart. Like, except that it's not.
We're ahead of the curve. I feel like there was just one of the tall guys there to like, should we at least make them the same size as their brains? No. Bigger brains
means more
dominance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Means more IQ, more smarter. I write down that like if they want a big socioeconomic impact on the world, you're going to pick somebody like Elon Musk or Taylor Swift, somebody that has people that pay attention to them, not poor John, who's just trying to kick it with his homies. They were probably hanging out playing Atari you know,
right,
playing some Pong, just kicking it. And then he's got to deal with brains and abduction, which sucks.
It does suck for him. It does. And it sucks even more that he got abducted by the dumb ones that don't know what the fuck's going on.
No,
I really do think that I don't think they were smart.
No, which I'm kind of, I hope that it's even weirder that like they kept communicating with him, which sucks.
Did they elaborate much on that? Like on.
There is a section in the book that talks about his communication with him, but it's a lot of more dire warning bullshit.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like, get yourself together. Like, is there just constantly in his head, like, you know, if you.
Which is even more fucked that they're like, you need to get yourself together.
Yeah, get this message out there.
What are you talking about?
John's probably like, hey, I got like six friends.
Yeah.
And they don't care. This is the late 70s.
And to be fair, if it would that be after the Cold War?
83? No, that would still be going on.
Okay, so.
But the things took place like right at the crux of the Cold War.
Well, I mean, if it was during the Cold War, everybody's going to have that same thought on their brain. Like, he could literally go out there and go, hey, guys, we're going to blow our planet up. And everybody's going to go, no shit. That's what's getting ready to happen. Yeah.
These aliens.
Like, that's what we're all afraid of.
So the actual abduction took place in 71.
Okay.
Oh, I think I just blew up my computer. I'm going to see when the Cold War ends here.
Yeah, we probably should fact check ourselves.
Yeah, let's look at the Cold War. Oh, well, I went to the Paris Olympic Games because it heard me talking about breakdancing. Cold War. Let's see here. Oh, 91.
Oh, shit.
85 to 91. So 53 to 62 and then 85 to 91. So the abduction. I mean, that essentially is strange. As they said, in 83, we were going to blow ourselves up. Mm-hmm. And then things kind of started to pop off heavy around 85. I don't know. Maybe we did blow ourselves up. I don't know.
Probably.
Whatever.
But like I said, everybody would be convinced of that anyway. So you're not going to do a whole lot of good by going around saying we're going to blow ourselves up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I initially decided to end it there. But then I stumbled on a couple little more weird nuggets, right? So I found out that John was actually a UFO researcher, which could be why they picked him, or if this was some kind of weird psychological, like, government experiment to discredit John because he was getting too close.
That makes sense.
To actual UFO research. This is the weird part, though, right? I always like to close with a little fucking curveball here. A strange note that when the original hypnosis tape was going to be transcribed by the author of this book in 76, it's found that most of the 2-hour recording had been completely blacked out and incomprehensible. The parts that were captured of any recordings of the voiceovers, the voices were all recorded backwards. The tape was analyzed by a Dr. Dennis R. Reagan, who is an oscilloscopic research expert, and it was determined that somehow in the recording, the tape had been twisted backwards during the recording. Weird, right? Because you hear about alien shit, always trying to get rid of any evidence.
Yeah, I mean, that makes this case different.
It makes it strange.
It makes it way weirder.
Hodges, however, being the OG and the UFO kind of journalist, I know we kind of played him off as being a simpleton.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had a second recorder in the room with him that he recorded with.
Slick boy.
So he pulls it out, plays his shit. Garbage. Can't hear any of it. So he's like, so both evidence of my hypnosis is gone. When the author got it, put it in a new tape deck, the whole thing played. And that's how they could transcribe the incidents from his hypnosis. So whatever it was trying to keep the hypnosis like from Hodges himself. which is weird.
That is interesting.
It's weird to me. So, like I said earlier, was he chosen because he was a UFO enthusiast?
It makes sense. It makes more sense now than, you know, him being a Joe Schmo.
Yeah, because they rounded that out kind of at the end. Like he dabbled, like not even enthusiast. Like he was a researcher. I think he had dabblings with MUFON in California and stuff. And he was investigating actual sightings and cases. And then this hit. I think that's why he got a lot of flack. Because, oh, the UFO guy had this weird ass crazy UFO abduction.
Right.
So it does make you wonder. It is a head scratcher as to why all this happened. Again, definitely go check the book out. It's called Alien Abductions, True Cases of UFO Kidnappings by Scott D. Rogo. It's got its own chapter in there. I think it's called the Dapple Gray Lane Incident. I'm pretty sure. Doesn't say anything about space brains right off the rip. I think it's Dapple Gray. Definitely check that out if you want to read more about it. Again, it has all the transcripts. I might do a secondary little Patreon episode that kind of goes through it because Rodriguez also did a little bit of hypnosis and they kind of corroborated each other's story from at the beginning where they saw the brains before Rodriguez got ripped off, which also may point to why Hodges just got the hell out of there. He's like, I ain't trying to get abducted tonight. If he was a UFO researcher,
that's a good point.
And he just split out. One of the weirder cases that I have come across, again, as Kyle was digging in deep to the law of one, we kind of figured it'd be a multiple parter. So I was just kind of doing research and banking stuff. I have some other strange UFO cases. If you guys are digging them and want to hear them, I found one from Russia where there's actual physical contact between the UFOs and the witnesses. I found another one where kind of runs off the law of one, has some weird Bigfooty shit tied into it. Just let me know when this drops if you guys are into these weird UFO incidences, because it's kind of been my thing here lately, digging into these and finding them out.
I dig it.
We'll get some weird ones. Some of them are short. You know what? If we have to release a short episode, we're going to do it because I feel like it needs to be talked about.
It happens.
But yeah, give us your rundown on the space brains. Did he really get abducted? Was it some kind of weird psyop to discredit him? Maybe he was into some shit that he didn't even know was too deep for him to even realize. Hard to tell, but I saw space brains, and like Kyle said at the beginning, everybody's down for a little bit of space brain.
Yeah.
So I figured we'd go for it. Thanks for hanging out with us this fine, fun-filled Monday. Hope everybody has a safe and I would say productive work week, but unless you work for yourselves, we don't want to give them that. So, check us out on all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Come join the Holocult till we meet again. Stay safe, stay weird, stay toxic to the off-world entities, and sometimes maybe it's better to say no to space brain.